Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 509. I'm Adam and
I am a human Dalek.
And here is Ben Shoveler.
Hi, I literally just pressed play to watch a little bit of the episode to get a quote from it when the Skype call came through and I got no further than, hold on.
It's too long.
Ten seconds. Into the episode, it's I didn't get a quote, so I'm sorry about that. But do continue.
Thank you. Debbie Melrose is back. Oh dear, just broke my bell.
It's not human, I know that.
Mary Lang.
He's a man, sweetheart. That's different enough.
What on earth is that accent? Probably better than the one she was doing. And Burby Cartlet Blown.
Behold your masters.
K9's gone a bit weird.
Are you talking about someone's bottom?
Sounded like it, didn't it?
I'm sure I heard the slang for bottom there.
Yeah, I reckon I did too, but Kirby's already...
Hold your masters.
Kirby's already put him out of the video.
You just said hold your ass close. I don't remember that quite.
Take it the showgirl.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, stuff coming through on the live feed, which is podcasting royalty. I think I should perhaps find something... Hang on, something royal to wear. Well, I've got a Freddie Mercury Funko Pop where he's wearing a crown. That's about the best I can do. It's Christian Basil who says... Hang on, let's put that there. Hang on.
Yeah,
I smell Whovians. Do you mind not talking over my bit, Debbie? Right, that's it. Hang on.
I've already lost my thing, thanks.
Here we go.
Yes, you have.
You're saying you've got captions on and they're not doing a very good version of capturing what you're saying.
Oh, okay. And then he says, that was a great episode, Snakes in a Shed. It's in reference to the hissing noises coming from one of Ben's sheds. Lillian Robbins says, captions.
One of three.
Well, captions. I didn't put captions on. If that's what makes the show, the video feed slightly more interesting, I should say. Couldn't get any less interesting, could it? And then Christian Basil then does a bit of flirting with Lillian by saying, hey, Lillian. Excuse me, we're only allowed to flirt with Lillian. Pretty sure that was on the contract. And Lillian says, hey, Christian, you're not allowed to flirt back. Not on this show. I'm intruding on something here.
Website.
Christian Bozo says it's okay to upgrade your Commodore 64. I hope you're not referring to me or talking to Ben on it and his version of Adobe Audition.
I've still got one of those.
And then he says,
Commodore 64. I'm still on Commodore 32.
I used to have one of those. Christian Bozo says. 20-bit is Whovian royalty. 20-bit. That was about 10 years ago when it was a bit. And then captions are on. Is there a problem with captions being on? I think that might have been that little box I accidentally clipped on. Now, I'm going to put Freddie away. It's Freddie Mercury. Because that's the end of the podcasting royalty section of the show. I'm just knocked the bell over. It needs to be in position for Mary, of course, who is the bell queen. Just to prime you with that little bell there, Mary. We're going to be talking today
about... That means
about...
if I'm the bell star, Adam...
The bell star.
If Mary's the bell queen, if I'm the bell star, does that make you the... And you're the last one. Does that make you the bell...
End, yes, finisher. It does, yes. Right then, so... So we're going to be talking about Daleks in Manhattan and Evolution of the Daleks. Was anybody surprised to see Daleks in this story?
No.
I think it's the only... sort of Dalek story that mentions Daleks twice in their appropriate titles. Oh, here we go.
Faster. Does anyone go, oh, Spider-Man?
No, because...
No. We knew
that. I didn't see Spider-Man in it.
You didn't get far enough.
Clearly not. I'm only 10 seconds in, Mary.
No, that's when Venom turns up.
Christian Basil says, it's okay to flirt. I misread that initially as okay to fart. So I think I'm really getting these very...
It's okay to do both. We're not biased.
This episode is brought to you by RTD. Little bell there for that mention of RTD. Right, but yes, it is actually. It's more of Helen Rayner who actually wrote the story. Anyway, let's get on with it, shall we? Because it's a two-part story. We need to shut Kirby up. I mean, we need to get through it as quickly as possible. So
you could sort all that problem out with faders.
What, Kirby?
I could if I, different fading.
If I had everybody on their own separate feed, I suppose I could do that. I've also got the Strictly results coming over my left shoulder, so I'll be might be leaning over there if we can get to the feedback in quick enough time. The episode begins with I can't remember. We probably spoke about this story before because Kirby was
To
say yes. Now, did I mention before, Kirby, that a query, the actress that played Tallulah's New York accent?
As you to whether it... her accent, I don't remember anything particular about it.
Okay. Anyway, she's smooching.
It's very stereotypical.
Thank you. She's smooching with this young gentleman backstage because she's about to go on stage, and playing an angel in this number they're doing on stage. Meanwhile, Laszlo, who's this young gentleman is Laszlo. What? For God's sake.
The author of this story picked her name out of the characters in Bugsy Malone.
Splendid. Anyway, Laszlo here.
If you remember Bugsy Malone, it's the movie about the kids who are gangsters that happens to have our favorite screaming companion.
Yes, okay.
And splurge guns.
Yes.
And
yes.
And. And what's
that's a very difficult movie to find. It's not.
I've got that on DVD.
It's on telly every 20 minutes over here, Kirby.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm not over there. I finally acquired a copy last year.
Oh, God. Right. So Laszlo hears...
What's one of the songs from...
I don't know. Anyway, Laszlo hears a noise and heads off after it. Yes.
You're not saying it right. It's Laszlo.
And he goes down into a dark room with a match and thinks it's just a statue, not a statue, like a pirate sort of figure making the noise. And
we can be anything that we want it to be.
Well, that's what you are when you're on stage. You are anything you want to be.
Snooping around in the basement of the theater in Talons of Wing Chiang.
Anyway, the TARDIS arrives at the foot of the Empire State Building. I think I think it was Penarth, actually. Yes.
I was about to say, it's Penarth.
We're the very best of being bad.
And still, Martha hasn't changed her jacket. So it must be starting to get a bit pongy.
Master.
Hmm?
It's the back wall of Kogan Primary School on Pill Street. I think that you said many years ago that you used to actually play in that area.
You don't have.
I was probably a little bit old to play. I was probably between the age of 13 and 15.
I can't understand you because someone's talking over you.
Oh, well.
Christian
Basil says Tallulah is in Big Finish, the Sixth Doctor companion, but not this Tallulah. Thanks. So he's better than you at coming up with the fairly useful fact.
Well, the actress who plays Tallulah, as Mary can tell us, is in lots of Big Finish.
Yeah, she's Miranda Raisin is one of the Sixth Doctor recent companions, and she's really good.
Well, actually, I might let you actually carry on talking stuff if the Strict results come on. Actually, this might not be such a bad idea.
What's the name of the companion she plays?
Remember, she's a World War II widow.
Okay. Oh, that's not fair.
He's got a few seconds left, Mary, to get the answer.
What her character name is.
Oh, dear.
We'll just say Google it.
Master.
Yeah?
That's a very strange name.
Widow.
Oh, time's running out. You got 10 seconds. Oh dear. That's unfortunate, isn't it? That means she gets one of these.
What's the word?
Sorry?
Her name is Connie.
Too late, Mary! Too late! Anyway, right, so.
I'm sorry. Master!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Could you tell us more about that area in Penarth?
No.
Because you were being sung over.
No.
Adam?
Yes?
I got 124. I did this by 8 times 7. I then multiplied the 3 by 4.
All right, thank you. Anyway, so the Doctor and Martha have arrived in Penarth. I'm in New York, and the Empire State Building hasn't quite been finished. And Martha works out that they're there on, was it November the 1st, 1930? Right in the middle of the Depression.
By they have a little one newspaper, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it could have been yesterday's newspaper. Yeah, whatever. All right, say December 1930, just to split hairs.
No, it's November.
No. Hang on. If this is the 30th of November, Kirby, and it's yesterday's newspaper, they'll be in December, wouldn't they?
Hang on.
They could be today.
For me.
It could be today's paper.
It could be, but I think it's unlikely if they found it sort of just lying around. But just in case, we'll just sort of...
No, it's November 1st.
November the 1st. We've gone back in time. Oh, God.
Oh, oh. Gotta get back in time.
Prince William's on the telly. Right, where do we get up to? So they arrive in Hooverville, which is a convention up north somewhere. And then that bloke from Star Wars and Holby City, which I think is not in existence anymore, sort of splits up a little fight over a bread roll. Rather large bread rolls. I'm not really surprised there was a bit of a fight going on.
Master. He solves it by being his namesake.
Mm.
His character is Solomon, so he suggests splitting it in half like a baby.
Mm. I'm surprised you didn't hear this sort of noise as he drew his lightsaber out of something out of his.
Miranda Raisin's character with the Sixth Doctor. Her name is Constance Clark.
Does she have a funny New York accent in it?
No, she's very British.
Oh, you just did something that's similar to what I used to do, and well, I still do, and you got obsessed by figuring out something and Googled it.
Yeah, it was the pressure of that countdown music that did it. Anyway, where do we get up to? Oh, yeah, so the Doctor sort of made friends with Solomon, and meanwhile, at the Empire State Building, some sort of bloke that looks like he should be in Peaky Blinders is... and demonstrating what sounded to me like a pretty poor accent while arguing with I can never remember the name of the bloke who ended up being the human Dalek. But anyway, he's the boss and also...
It's something like Diogenes, but it's not.
Yes, it's a really
weird need.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's okay.
Diagonally. Hey?
Diogenes.
Anyway, they're arguing over pay and working hours, and he's not very happy about it. So he says, right, bring up the masters to sort you out. And, of course, a Dalek comes up in the lift.
What I take exception to is that they only pay $1 a day, which everyone's like, oh, no. Are you kidding? At that time in the Depression, $1 a day was really good.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. But anyway.
There are some places in the north of this country, Mary, where the equivalent of $1 a day is still incredibly good. Like Newcastle.
Unless you're the owners of Newcastle. Yes!
About 30 years later, the Doctor would show up in the observation deck and run across an Alabaman.
All right. Thank you, Kirby. We already spoke about that episode
quite
a while ago. No. Anyway, accompanying the Dalek in the lift were a couple of pig men, which I'm sure somebody will explain. What was the point if they're going to make slaves out of humans turning them into pigs? I didn't quite understand that one.
They had spare pig masks around, maybe.
Right.
I mean, and pigs are known for being very contrary. They don't follow instructions very well.
Yeah, the thing is, though,
a pig that size would make a hella nice bacon sandwich.
Yeah. But yeah, I think...
I was surprised that they did the pigs because they'd done the pigs with the Slitheen a couple of years before.
Well, no, they've got a thing about pigs, haven't they? But I think I didn't understand... I think it was just they did it just because they could. I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. But
yeah, I don't think there was any real logic to it.
No, but it's a science fiction fantasy TV show, so I'll let it slide. Anyway, these people, the poor people in Whoville, at least they can afford to either steal or buy newspapers. I don't know. They do acquire them anyway.
They probably steal them out of the trash.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Or they're free.
Yeah. And then Mr. Diagon Alley turns up at Hooverville asking if anybody might want a job on the Empire State Building and asks them to go through some tunnels where they're sort of... the Doctor finds this green splat on the floor, which looks like a dead Rutan, actually, but it's obviously a mutant Dalek thing.
Something adapted from something.
It looked faker than the one that Tom Baker pulled out of Destiny and
Daleks. That's just consistency with Doctor Who history, Kirby. And what I did like, about it was when they were looking at it closely, Martha stroke Freema's reaction to the smell. I thought that was really, really good.
Martha was stroking Freeman for the smell.
You really do need to get your internet sorted out.
No, you need to watch how you say things.
I definitely agree there.
Anyway, so the Daleks have a plan, which involves parts of the Daleks' body casing being attached to the top of the Empire State Building, for a plan we will find out what for later. It's called Dalekanium before you moan, Kirby. I know it's called Dalekanium, but...
I didn't say anything.
Well, you were going to. Oh. If I hadn't mentioned it was called Dalekanium, some point you would have moaned. Anyway, I'm just moving forward a bit. They take a bit of a liking to Mr. Diagon Alley, these Daleks. And... because of his Dalek-y attitude about being ambitious and horrible and bloody. So he gets escorted down to the inner sanctum, where Dalek Sek is looking very handsome in his black Dalekiness. Oh, did I have a Dalek Sek once? I think I did. I think I sold it.
There's a Dalek Sek down in Cowstown Central.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to plug it anymore, Debbie.
I thought it was the Cult of Skaro, not the Sect of Skaro.
Anyway, all the people are still down in the tunnels, and then suddenly they start getting a bit cornered by a load of pig creatures, and the doctor says, run! And so they do.
A lot.
And they manage to find a step ladder to climb up into a hole. But unfortunately, Andrew Garfield, whatever his name is, gets caught.
Frank.
Gets caught. But when they climb up into the what is actually the theatre, Tallulah's waving a fake gun at them.
Jodie Foster
wants some answers.
My name is Tallulah.
Is it? Okay.
Three L's and
Best
an H.
Sam's Grand Slam.
Easy. Anyway, so she's wondering where the bloomin' Laszlo's gone, because after he said that he was going to see her, he just disappeared. I think we can guess where he is. Meanwhile, the Jedi bloke has gone back to rally some troops some workers attached.
Why is there a sewer what, Kirby?
Why is there a sewer entrance in her dressing room?
Because it's a crap theatre.
It's a secret
exit. Because it's a massive part of the plot, and if it weren't there,
it's all very
who knows,
clean
but it's there and that's in the script. So, anyway,
doesn't
so
doesn't smell, obviously. Yeah.
Well, it's got a quite tight seal on it. Anyway, Mr. Diagon Alley gets shoved into the Dalek sex body and gets sucked into a green thingy, and the whole of Dalek sex body closes, and he starts pregnant, essentially, Dalek sex. The doctor, meanwhile, creates a gadget. With some
wait, you completely
bobs.
Skipped over the whole.
Oh God! Can you wonder why I skipped over the old when we've still got another episode to do?
The song and dance. You skipped the whole
right,
thing.
Tell if you tell me what I've skipped over and it's actually of value to what we were talking about, I've got my bell here, Kirby.
Well, and I enjoyed watching it.
You will get it well and truly dinged.
Time?
Pardon?
Are we doing both episodes at the same
time?
We
are, yes.
No, we're doing the other one next week.
No, we're doing them both on this episode.
As usual.
Yeah. Kirby, it's over to you. If it's worth talking about, you will get a ding. Here you go. Oh.
Ding.
Oh, you haven't said anything.
What? I don't know what you're
talking about.
You said
I skipped over something.
Well, yeah, you skipped over the whole... song and dance number that Murray Gold wrote specifically for this.
God.
Well, that's why it wasn't worth...
Because he wanted to do a song and dance number.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, he did.
It's definitely not worth a ding. It did get mentioned, though. Anyway, the doctor, after examining this blob, creating a special machine that does DNA testing, finds out it's from Skaro. And then he becomes quite urgent in what he wants to do.
Master?
Yeah.
Is it the machine that goes ding?
Yes, it is!
Ding!
Okay, so we've moved on to evolution of the Daleks?
No! Shut up! Anyway, yeah, so he's gone down. He goes down into the tunnels and finds Laszlo curled up in a corner. And Tallulah sort of realizes it is him quite quickly, actually. And then the whole crowd of people, including Martha and Spider-Man, turn up. Of course, the Doctor's quite relieved that at least Martha's all right. Because
DVD player is... stopped working. Can you tell me where you are?
That's a shame. Anyway, he's quite relieved Martha's still alive because that means he can mope about Rose.
Tell me where you are.
Oi! He can mope about Rose for a bit longer. I am in my front room with a microphone and a TV displaying the extraordinary results. This is Daleks in Manhattan. And we're sort of around about the 42-minute mark. Well, by the time you find that out, I will have probably moved on to episode 2.
Okay. I found it.
The people have been rounded up and the Daleks will at some point work out which ones the lower intelligent ones to turn into pig slaves and the higher intelligent ones to turn into another type of creature. Meanwhile, a Doctor and Martha and a few others get taken up to the inner sanctum just as Dalek Sek is about to give birth to the human Dalek, which he promptly does. I got to the end of episode 1, so I'm going to go. I'm so pleased with myself. Faces. Pardon?
That he has a very rude face.
He does. Mary!
He does.
skip over that. I hope nobody's noticed. Yes, Kirby?
I do have a bit of trivia. The reason I was asking, are we done with episode 1 of the two-parter, is there was one particular word that we did not hear at all in the episode, which was very unusual.
Exterminate. We hear it plenty of times in the next episode, though, don't we?
So correct. We hear it 12 times in the second episode.
I wasn't counting. Anyway, so...
I am.
So it's quite funny at this point. So now that this is the next episode, the human Dalek Sek makes his appearance. The Doctor decides to introduce himself to the Daleks, prompting the normal Daleks to say, "Exterminate! You are the enemy of the Doctor." The Daleks, Dalek Sek says, "No, Doctor, kill him just yet," sort of thing. And
we've still got another 40 minutes of the episode to go.
Anyway, it takes the opportunity to leg it, and the Daleks end up down in the sewers. He goes back to Hooverville, where he sort of Solomon's decided that they're going to, you know, fight. There's a little chap that's on watch for any movement of potential baddies, and then a load of pigs turn up. And of course, the Doctor says something on the lines of, "This is just the foot soldiers," or something like that, because the Dalek... three of them turn up from above and start shooting things. And
Master?
Yes.
Eric Loren, who played Mr. Diagonale and
nice.
He is actually American. He's London based. But he said that when
to American, Kirby, haven't you noticed?
Once he was in the Dalek makeup, and there were times when they weren't using it, and he was just sitting over in corners. He would take naps, and so they couldn't tell he was asleep because all of the eye and all the things would keep moving. So,
ew.
He found that humorous.
I'm not surprised. Anyway, so
would
the Dalek...
be quite scary, however, if you'd fallen asleep wearing a mask like that, woken up, gone to the toilet, forgetting you were wearing the mask, looked in the mirror.
Yeah. Anyway, so Solomon does his big sort of, essentially it's like a doctor speech, and puts his gun down and sort of does his little speech to the Daleks. He gets shot. The Doctor gets a bit cross. And says, "No, kill me, kill me." And of course, he's just about to get killed, but human Dalek sex with no. And of course, he's finding it very difficult resisting the temptation to kill. Quite a dramatic scene, that. But he gets told to bring the doctor to the inner sanctum. But I forgot to mention this. There was a little a conversation between them, two of the Daleks, saying that they don't quite trust Dalek sex now he's gone all human-y. So they're sort of plotting against him already.
I don't trust him anymore. That was very good, Ben. He's gone a bit mad.
Normally, you need a ring modulator to create such a good Dalek impression. I'm impressed.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, there's also...
It's hilarious when that one Dalek turns around to look to see if anybody's listening.
Yeah, that's really good, isn't it? I like that bit. And also, they're in the huge warehouse where there's lots of bodies suspended on little beds and things. Which reminded me a little bit, and I haven't got to that episode yet, but Kirby likes to call it The Curse of the Bad Plot.
Yes.
A similar sort of setup.
And it also looks like it's taken straight out of that movie from the 70s, I think, called Coma.
Can't say I've ever seen that one, but thank you for that anyway, Kirby. Anyway, so the plan is to feed Dalek DNA, or Dalek sex DNA, into these people and turn them into Daleks. Because what Dalek Sek actually wants, forgot to mention this, he thinks he can't understand why they keep losing to the humans or whatever in wars, so he wants a bit of human in them to be completely invincible. But they already
Everybody
had it with Rose.
Wants a bit of human in them, Lavi.
Yeah.
Let me raise a question here.
As long as it's only a question.
This once in a century event of the gamma rays hitting Earth so that they can turn these corpses into Dalek humans.
I have an answer.
Yet they think that they're going to take over and make many, many more. I wonder, where are they going to get the gamma ray shot from? You know, this is just one time.
I have an answer.
Okay.
Of course
it's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
There you go. Where's the bell?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I just noted a little message come up said the current frame rate is too low.
I have no answer.
It says the current frame rate is too low. Please set the frame rate to 15 to 60 frames per second. Well, it doesn't say where to do it, though. Where on earth do you do that? So I'm going to ignore that. Apparently, I'm looking a bit jerky.
I've got to co-op and do it.
What? Where did I get up to? Yes, I was doing the Doctor Who episode.
No one's listening.
No.
Hope they are.
Anyway. So, where are we going?
You mean you are?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they go to the very windy top level of the Empire State Building.
Master?
What?
They use the same heliport and some of the same structure that they had used for fighting the wire.
Yeah, so I did get a feel of that. Yes, that's true. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest. Anyway, around this sort of time where they're looking at the trying to work out what's different about the plans of the Empire State Building's last sort of bit, the tower before and after the Daleks came along, Laszlo starts having a few funny turns. And moving forward a bit more.
Laszlo.
Yeah. The Doctor, of course, they find out Dalekanium is on the tower, and obviously the Dalek's going to be using this Dalekanium to, do some Dalek-type stuff. And there's a storm approaching, and so the Doctor goes up there with his sonic screwdriver to dismantle it.
And to get hit by lightning, like he's done before.
He got struck by lightning, but he didn't quite manage to get all the panels off because he dropped his sonic screwdriver, this clumsy sod.
Isn't he lucky that they were able to find it? Otherwise, there would be this sonic screwdriver somewhere on the top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, Martha rigs up this to sort of line of poles to kill all the poor pig people as they come out of the lift with the same lightning bolt, which makes the Doctor go a bit.
Rays or something.
Gamma rays, something like that. Anyway,
I like Adam's description though.
Anyway, so all these human Daleks wake up, and of course they ask it, "What are you?" "I am a human Dalek." "Oh no, I am a Dalek, not a human Dalek." These men look a bit pale, and So that Martha, after the storm, Martha and Spider-Man, which is quite apt that Spider-Man's up on the top of the building, find the unconscious
more
doctor.
More apt if he was web-slinging his way down it.
Mm. And the Dalek men go through the tunnels on a little sort of mission. And the doctor goes, and of course they've, but I think they, at this stage they've sort of got rid of, well, they, Dalek Sec is no longer in charge, shall we say, because they've sort of mutinied him.
He's on a leash.
Steve Bruce.
Dalek Khan, is it? Dalek Khan is now in charge now. Yes.
Dalek
Steve Bruce.
Has Steve Bruce been fired, by the way, in that time since?
No, he will be, though. He will be. They only left him in charge today so he could have 1,000 games in charge just in case no one else gives him a job.
That's right, yeah.
But now we have to deal with the wrath of Khan.
Oh, I missed the bell. Sorry, Mary, do that again. Anyway,
the
so
the
end
best
of,
Star Trek movie ever.
The doctor gets his sonic screwdriver, and I'm just going to demonstrate for the viewers. Here's my sonic screwdriver. He holds it up in the air, and he does it. Where's the doodah? Does that. There you go. Like that. To summon the Daleks, but he was quite surprised to find they're all men. And then they're to this theatre, and the curtains open, and it.
Dalek. Master?
What?
They're not all men.
The Dalek men are men. What, all women.
No,
what?
They
men
are.
And women, then. All the Daleks that come in are men or women. What you want? What are they? Not cats or blooming mongooses, are they?
As in human, there are women in there.
I just said, right, that's it. I just said that, so that is going to get one of these.
Dalek people.
Thank you. That's a good way of putting it, Mary.
I do like the Dalek machine guns.
Yeah, they're cool, aren't they? yeah, so the...
You later see one just sitting around in Torchwood.
Thank you. Anyway, so the Daleks bring Dalek Sec onto the stage of the theatre, and eventually the Dalek people shoot him. I do quite like when he's sort of in mid-negative skeletal mode, you see a sort of a weird sort of cyclops skull.
Yes, that was good.
Getting
Master?
Really cross. Yes.
Just before that, there's a great scene where David Tennant does something that I've always wanted to do. He walks across all the backs of the seats.
Yeah, that was a very 10th Doctor thing to do. Anyway, so he gets a bit cross. But when the lightning struck, went through the Doctor, some of that Time Lord DNA got into the system, you see. So these... These Dalek people are getting a bit, they've got their own minds, and they shoot not only Dalek Sec, but the other Daleks are on the stage as well. While Laszlo has a few more funny turns, the Doctor then offers Dalek Khan a way out before he'd previously offered Dalek Sec a sort of opportunity to have a planet to themselves. That's never going to work with Daleks, to be fair, but there you go. What they call it, temporal thingamajig shift, whatever it was.
Emergency temporal shift.
Temporal shift, yeah.
Anyway, so he's gone to appear in a future episode.
He's the very last Dalek.
Well, for the time being.
Yes. I went into the time vortex.
Did you, Debbie?
At the end, that he's just brilliant.
So the Doctor saves Laszlo from his dying condition of heartiness, what they call it, I don't know, by using the machinery left behind by the Daleks. But he can't stop him being a pig. If Tallulah ever, she can never use that argument now. You're such a pig.
Maybe a gastric band that might stop him being a pig.
Lillian Robin says two L's and an H. I think is doing a bit of spell correcting for podcasting royalty.
George is not playing rugby.
Anyway, so he gets Spider-Man.
That's a sport for the Americans.
Thank you for that. So Spider-Man sorts out a little place at Hooverville for Laszlo to live. But Hooverville didn't last that long, so he still would have had to move somewhere else after that, wouldn't he? And off they go. End of the episode. So, okay.
Thank you, guys.
What? What?
End of the episode.
Don't know what you're about. Anyway, I actually really enjoy this this particular story. I mean, sometimes I get sort of bored by two-parters, but there's got a couple of issues, isn't it, here and there. But the cast is good. The special effects are good. It's quite a good, fun, and gripping story. As far as Dalek stories go...
Watch the same story.
I shut up! I think it's not so bad. It's got a few things in it that may or may not make sense, like I've already outlined. But I must admit, I did actually... Sometimes, you know, when you watch a Doctor Who story, a squirrel goes past and you go, oh, squirrel. But this one, no. Nothing detracted my attention from the story. I was quite looking forward. I watched episode one last night and episode two this afternoon. And I was quite looking forward to watching episode two. And I wasn't disappointed. It was quite good. Don't have to have Kirby, because we now know that he didn't like it at all. So, Ben, what did you think of the Daleks in Manhattan and Evolution of the Daleks?
I'd much rather hear what Kirby has to say about it first.
Okay, then. Kirby, what do you think?
Am I up?
Are you up? I don't know. It depends where you're sitting, I suppose. Go on, Em.
Thankfully, we're not all on video, Kirby, if you are.
Oh, matron.
Come on, Kirby. Or do you want a bit of music to play for me to introduce you with? Let's see if we can find one. Here we go.
I'm music for my show.
That's too long. Carry on. Today would be nice.
Who are you calling?
Oh, jeez.
You, Kirby.
I thought you didn't want to hear what I had to say.
Yes, I was being facetious.
And back then we said we wanted to. We've missed the whole thing. Well, you turned off again.
Back in 2014.
No, he was up. You just said so.
At the end of 2014,
yes.
We went through and came up with our list of worst Doctor Who episodes for each Doctor.
Oh, God.
And these two are my number one worst for the 10th Doctor.
Okay.
I was dreading even bothering to watch these again.
Oh, dear.
I mean, they've got some entertaining parts in them, but it's just hard to watch. It's the accents are terrible. The whole Dalek human hybrid is bad.
He's rude.
Yes, it's rude.
He's a Dalek.
I dislike this one. I dislike this one more than Fear Her.
Okay. Okay, there we got it there. What did you think about it then, Ben?
Well.
He didn't watch it.
Well, no, he didn't, but sure, you can remember it.
It's funny you say that. I kind of agree with bits of what both of you had just said. I haven't rewatched it, as I said in the YouTube only couple of minutes before you started actually recording the podcast.
YouTube.
I'd sat down to start watching the episode so I could get a quote for the beginning, and I got 10 seconds in. So I don't actually remember a whole lot about it.
Ben, can I give you a bit of a hint, right? When it's a Dalek story, you could always get away quote-wise just by saying exterminate, because that seems to appear in every...
That's a very, very lame way of looking at it, Adam. I expect more.
I use it. You said it's your quote.
No. I do remember, just after Kirby's just said it there, the human Dalek thing was just a shambles, quite frankly. It just looked like they'd run out of time. And that, remembering back, it did seem like this one was kind of like a, we need a Dalek story, quick, let's think of something. It was like they were kind of like thrown in, really, just as, you know, it was a story for the Daleks rather than a good Doctor Who story. Yeah, exactly.
The
accents were absolutely appalling.
I agree about the accents, but that's just typical you know.
Yeah, but it's, you know, you've got to pay a bit of attention to your accents, otherwise they just fall out all over the place. So, I mean,
traversed 17 states there.
I was going for 19. What a shame. It wasn't the best. I completely agree with Kirby on that. It wasn't that easy to watch. I'll give him that as well. But it wasn't the worst. And David Tennant was brilliant as usual. Apart from that, it was all right.
Thank you, Ben. Debbie, what did you think?
Two-parters can be really hit and miss. And this one actually...
Miss.
Stood really well watching it as in one go, so it really does stand up as a two-parter. However, feel that the use of stereotypes is insulting. I did feel that, especially to Lula. She was like everything every Brit thinks of a cool girl and then some. And she was, unfortunately, she stood out as just such a bad parody that she kind of distracted from what was going on around her with the pigmen and things like that. And she was great comedy relief as well in the tunnels, in the sewers.
You know, I think she was almost a parody of herself, though, in that respect.
Kind of, I suppose.
I see what you're saying.
To be a parody of a parody. But... yeah, I felt with I like the script at the time was really lauded, but they ruined the surprise of the Daleks being in A with the title, because normally
that was a bit of a giveaway.
They like to kind of wait and reveal it, and this time they pre-revealed it. They pre-revealed the human Dalek. They pre-revealed that, and so we'd all seen that. It'd been on Blue Peter. It was all over the place, and so it wasn't really the shock horror that it should have been for the, you know, the denouement of the first episode. And I felt as well, the music balance as well. I was watching it and Robert had sent some feedback and he'd referred to the music. And as I was watching it, I was like, yeah, that's what's been irritating me, because it kept sweeping and making these big suggestive arcs with the music while something quite, you know, normal was going on. And then the whole song and dance number was a bit of a, let's throw that in. Throwing a song and dance and make a bit more of a song and dance about it. So I felt we were kind of, it was such a jumble of trying to be really, you know, empathic about the situation that brought everybody into Hooverville, and but demonstrating it by having two people fight over a piece of bread. This isn't Dickensian. It's not it's like an Oliver Twist thing, you know, a lump of bread, we're all going to fight over it. That's fine, but you didn't need you didn't need to like rub it in as even more, you know, we're already sensible people, most of us, and we understand what Hooverville is, but you don't need to sort of rub it in with the big bit of bread, let's fight over that, but everybody looking suspiciously clean as well, you know, that sort of thing. And
there's a shower block around the corner, didn't you see?
Wonder if they're using like shower blocks in the park or something, but I didn't know if there were any. The story is fun. It is cracking fun. There are lots of chasing, but I felt that David Tennant just didn't feel settled as the Doctor in this one. He didn't feel, I don't know when this happened in filming this season with Martha and everything, but it felt very sort of clicked together, but not quite there. And it was lauded as like possibly the best script so far of Tennant's era. And just didn't really live up to this great big hype that happened. And I find normally a Dalek episode, there's no hype. And then you're because we don't know they're going to come. And then everyone's really excited because the Daleks have turned up. This, I think, was the first time we went, oh, no, again. And it was, I can remember we were all just like, what are we doing? You know, that sort of,
wasn't episode 6 Daleks of series again. 1 called Dalek?
Yeah, but it's... You know what I mean? It's just the Daleks are turning up all the time, and they were like a rare treat, you know. And the Doctor says himself, you know, they always turn up and I lose everything. You know, he says that at one point in the first episode of this two-parter. And I just felt like saying, but why do they always turn up? you know, why is it now a new story for them? Why can't we have other enemies? And we've constantly said that. Why can't we bring somebody else outside of the Cybermen and the Daleks? And now, unfortunately, the Weeping Angels have become that level of
the go-to.
Yeah. And there's so much history of Doctor Who that you could pull monsters from. Let's bring back some of the really obscure ones, but the Zabi might.
Yeah, like Ferals or the Garm.
I'm not sure about the Zabi, though. That might be interesting to
it
see.
It might be
that
because for the common viewer, the Dalek is a trademark of Doctor Who.
Let's go back to an
BBC.
Enemy that's apparently incredibly terrifying,
and that's
covered
all
in bubble wrap.
They just want viewers.
Yeah, the Lotgonzians, they were nasty.
Yeah, they were nasty.
That's basically.
I couldn't hear what you were saying, Adam. Sorry.
I know. Nobody ever listens to me. Don't worry.
I've waffled on enough.
508 previous episodes. Nobody listens to me. Says nothing changes. Fortunately,
I'm sorry, Adam.
I have the master microphone, so the listeners will have been able to hear that.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, basically, beating around the bush and saying, I kind of like this one. It could have been phenomenal, but it wasn't.
Okay. Where did I get up to? Oh yes. Oh. I was going to comment about something stuff you said there, but
I did use the Radio Times cover as the picture at the top of asking for feedback.
Yeah.
Splendid. Anyway,
I remembered that cover at the time.
I didn't until I saw Kirby's post. But now is the big hitting moment of this particular section because. Play it properly. Thank you. Mary
this
will just tell us
is
that
Mary
I was wrong.
Blitzline.
I feel as if I should have a glass of sherry to accompany this.
Well, this story, had a good initial setup. You know, when you start with that first episode, I thought the buildup was great. It was scary. It was tense. And I kind of enjoyed, the stereotypical characters because I knew this wasn't real. I think Raisa really lit up the screen every time she was on. She was the one I enjoyed the most. But then the whole thing, from about the middle of the first episode right on through the second one, it just seriously goes off the rails. Like I said, it had the making of a good story, but there's just too many laughable and groan-worthy absurdities that get in the way of being able to buy much of what's going on. When we're talking accents, how about the fact that we're in America and we're still hearing the elevator called a lift?
I didn't spot that one. What I'm
say a laboratory, they're calling laboratory, and so there's all these little Britishisms in there. we may try, but we're still in England this.
Yeah, you're still saying
they were in
wrong.
Wales.
Yeah, Wales, yeah.
Yes, Wales, England.
Yeah, well, I don't think the Welsh think it is.
Ben says that he thought that this script was rushed, and it really was. While they were waiting for Moffat to finish writing Blink, they were desperate to do a two-parter. And so Jacqueline Rayner, who had been a script editor, this was her big moment. They threw all of these elements at her, Davies Alan did. Rayner. Wanted a story written. And so she did her best, but it was a very rushed script. And I think it shows because I think that this is one of the low points of this season. Yeah. And let me say, one thing, yes, Murray Gold's music when the doctor is climbing the mast, in the lightning and the storm and all that, the music is so reminiscent of Pirates of the Caribbean. I was expecting to see, the big ship come by. Anyway.
I thought it was reminiscent also of the Back to the Future bit where Doc's on the clock tower with the lightning going off all around him and the music there.
But being American... And having lived in New York for 5 years, I have to say that what's constructed here is a logistical nightmare of transportation. Because if the TARDIS actually lands on Liberty Island, they would have to take a very slow boat over to the lower tip of Manhattan. They would arrive in Battery Park, which is the lower tip. So there would be a long time getting from the island to Manhattan itself. And then the to get to Hooverville, Central Park begins at 90th Street. And the part where Hoover Park or Hooverville is supposedly would be another 5 or 10 more blocks to go. So we're talking a few miles up Manhattan to get from, you know, the lower tip up to Central Park.
But they did it so quickly on the telly.
I know they did. They just basically rushed.
Boy, to the next. You sound like me.
No, Kirby, she really doesn't.
You don't comment on having ridden a taxi or a subway or a bus to get there. And it would have taken a very long time. And then the Empire State Building is at 35th Street. So you talk 35th Street up to 100th Avenue or 100th Street. And then you've got another, you know, long trip from one to the other. And if she is actually on Broadway with her musical, that's 42nd Street. I mean, we're talking great.
It doesn't work, Mary, does it? It just doesn't work, no matter what way they try it.
But they're just, you know, they're just appearing one place and then another. And it's like, whoa, how are they getting all over the place like that? Anyway,
it's a support American TV program.
Yeah, no. For an American, it was like, I don't buy this for a second. But anyway, yes, I do. I think this is one of the real low points of this season. So that's my opinion.
Fortunately, listeners and viewers, my opinion counts most.
Master?
Oh!
Master?
Yes.
Did you notice both Americans are knocking this one and all the Brits are not?
No, only I liked it. Everybody else hated it. But of course, like I said, it's good when you
let me say that Davies was in on the early promotion of just there being the Daleks. Of course, it was in the titles. It was his idea to put the name in the title, but to promote the creature, it's showing up everywhere. Because what turned out was that the following Christmas, the Dalek sick mask was one of the most popular selling toys.
Yeah.
And there was also a 2.5% increase on everything that sold in merchandise, probably. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. So thank you, Mary, for your incorrect words. Very, very good. Right, Kirby, it's over to you while the stricter results are now going up on the screen. It's over to you.
Well, let me refresh the page, okay?
Me? Why am I refreshing the page? Your job to read them out.
Just in case that someone's put something up in the last 5 minutes.
Come on.
Why is it not refreshing? There we go.
Oh, dear. Active internet.
Yeah.
No, my internet is perfectly fine. That was
Kirby. I mean, the...
Okay. Neil James.
What we're seeing is it's not. I'd say by that American internet isn't as good as English internet.
The problem I just had was probably Facebook itself.
Oh, but I mean,
British Facebook is also
now.
Better.
Yeah.
Anyway, Neil James says Daleks in Manhattan / Evolution of the Daleks. Pigs in New York. This two-parter has never grabbed me. It's cool now to see Andrew Garfield before he was a star. Mm. And Hugh Quarshie is always good. But the dodgy accents, silly pig heads, and the whole thing taking place at night just makes me want to have a snooze. Despite a good makeup job, the hybrid looks silly and unthreatening in his smart suit. The Doctor and Martha are good throughout, and the Daleks' distrust of their own hybrid is quite entertaining. But the Laszlo storyline is boring and unbelievable.
I do like
Tallulah's song, though. And so do I. To be honest, I don't think I'd even like this story as a one-parter. But having just watched 90 minutes of it, it just seemed to go on and on. 1 star out of 5. Thank you, Neil. Robert Wins Jr. Not much to say about this two-parter. Very boring. But like the time era it was set... The look color was fine. Not too crazy about the pig person or the mixing of the Dalek and human. My rating, 1.5 out of 5.
Fair enough.
Brandon Moore says got married yesterday. This one's a bit rubbish.
Congratulations.
Huh? Yes. This one's a bit rubbish, isn't it? And who do you want to read Robert's?
I think, let's see, Mary. Can I just say before you move on to Robert's feedback, Ian Kirk says on the live feed, there was a rude-looking creature called Alpha Centauri in an old Doctor Who story. This week, sci-fi legend William Shatner went up to the edge of space in a rocket shaped like Alpha Centauri. I was going to talk about this very phallical-shaped rocket later in the show. Alan T. Butcher says, elevator stroke lift. That was the TARDIS translating.
Yes. Ooh, good. Very good.
Alan. Yes, that deserves one of those. And then says, good use of the gallery music, Debbie. And Ian Kirk says, can't believe I missed doing a pig-headed pun in my feedback. We haven't had that bit yet. It's a bit of a spoiler there. Yes, go on, Mary. You're going to do Robert's feedback, aren't you?
Okay. He says, I feel mixed reactions with this week's episodes. It's funny how the passage of time can alter one's views. I think that I enjoyed them more this time around than previously. As I've been watching Evil of the Daleks, it's quite appropriate to encounter Daleks being subject to the, quotes, human factor. In this case, with Dalek Sek and the human Dalek converts, and we have the touching story of Laszlo and Tallulah. Lucky Laszlo was there to assist the doc. And what is it with the doctor and climbing up antennas? Legopolis really ended badly for him. There was the incident last series with the wire, and then in these episodes. I had two main problems with the episodes, though, and none were to do with Dalek Sek. Firstly, it's Tennant's performance. I'm really getting peed off with his I'm so sorry and his overwrite campy performance at times. That's stupid, basically run line. I think Eccleston was so much better conveying anger. Tennant's anger doesn't come off right to me and certainly wouldn't get me to do what he shouts at people. Also, while I love Murray Gold's music, this time in the show was when they had a really poor sound balance. I listen with the subtitles on as the music and effects are just way too loud to hear dialogue. Mark Ayers even mentioned this at the time in Facebook posts, and he's someone who knows about this kind of thing. Dialogue should not have to compete with music and sound effects. Oh, I've just thought of another thing that annoys me yet again. That Martha Doctor mention of romance crap. Someone please pass me the vomit bag. I'm actually looking forward to the next episode to see if I feel differently to that. Show sorry to miss tonight's recording too. So long and thanks for all the scarecrow.
Thank you, Mr. Haynes. Master? Yes, love.
In the Daleks of Manhattan, the only person that says I'm sorry, so sorry, is Laszlo.
It's Laszlo. Yeah.
Okay.
Laszlo. The doctor saying that in this.
Well, hello, 20 megabytes is Andrew in here, and I'm not telling you what time it is. So yeah, but it's actually you, Ben. I just watched Daleks in Manhattan and Evolution of Daleks. You know, watching two bits this morning, so I had two lots of ironing to do, so two go together. Stormageddon did watch some of it, but he actually did find the Dalek, the pig slaves, quite disturbing, which is understandable. I think, you know, for a six-year-old child, it's a bit better when he sort of came towards the end and they turned into heroes almost. But
this isn't the Vashti Narada.
Yeah, but that was a bit disturbing. Interesting, didn't we have that in the first episode? No, second episode of Ridwan Who Returned. Interesting. However, again, this is a story where it starts off, you think it's Alien Force invading, which it was. Alien Force, all of four of them, who are the Last of the Daleks. Well, there seems to be lots of little pockets of Last of the Daleks, so yeah, they seem to crop all over. Interesting, when they recognise the Doctor later, how do they do that? You know, where did the Cold Descaro come from? Were they survivors of the Canary Wharf battle, perhaps?
Yes.
You know, that's not explained, but it doesn't really matter, because that's not the point.
Well, it is.
The point is, this is all about what could have been, what might have been, and what failed happening. You know, the Daleks, they're just so wedded to the way they are. They just cannot see. They need to change and develop. They're going to carry on doing the same thing. And if you don't change, you just repeat the same mistakes and you never go anywhere. And that's why the Evil of the Daleks, it's a misnomer in a way, because the Daleks cannot evolve. They do not have the mental capacity to understand they need to change. They're just so set in their ways. And they get one renegade, because that's really what he was, who saw it something different. And when they became a human Dalek as well, he actually started to understand, you know, what he meant to be human. Because, you know, wonder what would happen if the Sidemen ever had anything like that, how they would develop in it. But you have the, based in historic fact, of course, of the Great Depression. And, you know, no doubt there were camps such as that one in Central Park where, it's, you know, people went because they had nowhere else to go. And they're probably treated like slave labor. You know, a dollar a day is nothing. But people, they were desperate times, that people would be exploited. Interesting, the leader was a black man, because, you know, there still was a lot of racism in America. So I just wonder how true to life that was. You know, could a black man have not risen to vision of authority? I just wonder how he got it. You know, we never found out much about him, what his background was. But obviously, yeah, he was respected. Dr. and Rose. Rose? I don't think it's Rose. Actually, Martha. Yeah, good one. Can you edit that one, please, Adam? Thank you. No. Dr. and Martha. Again, Martha is, no one comments on the fact there's a black woman with a white man. No one comments on her dress. In fact, no one comments on, well, I suppose his dress is a bit timeless. You know, it, you know, that sort of clothing never, you know, never really went out of style. But looking at her, you know, a woman dressed like that, different, you know, no one really thought about it. But you get to see how he takes on the mantle of the leader when he's gone and steps forward just, you know, to defend mankind, offering himself up. And the Daleks can't cope with this. You know, I think it's something that the ninth doctor said, you know, I've got no plan, I don't know what I'm doing, and don't you find that terrifying? And that really is what the Doctor does. But overall, this is a good story because it, being two-parter, I assume you are doing both, right? Is that right, isn't it, Kirby? You are doing both today?
Yes.
The fact it gave the story time to breathe and develop, you weren't rushing it through. And obviously, when I came this morning to the end of part one of this, it's great, you know, there's more to go. It's got a better pace. I think the 45 to 50 minute episode trying to get cram everything in doesn't work because you are trying to rush everything in. It doesn't give the time to breathe. And it really explicitly too, you know, the first one, the building. The second was inside the building. Bits with, you know, lightning conductor, and it's all very good timing. Also at the end, when he left Laszlo, I mean, he couldn't really do much about it. He thought he could have at least taken those two side teeth out, you know, given a sort of slightly, you know, better looking mouth, something like that. But again, this shows the good of humanity. You know, this is what New York was, you know, given you're tired, you're weary, you're homeless. And here he was, you know, one man who encapsulated all of that. So there you go. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So, be seeing you.
Yes, well done, Andy.
Master? Yeah. Master? Yeah, he made good points about, you know, the black leader and, you know.
Approach that particular thing. I'm going to let you speak in a minute, but I was under the impression that racial sort of tensions were more in the south of the United States rather than in the north. I know there would be exceptions to the rule, but I didn't have a problem with, because I mean, just by way of example, in the late 19th century there was an ex-slave chap who became a marshal in the Indian Territory, and he was a black man, and he was incredible, and yes, he did get racial problems and he had to deal with the birth of the Ku Klux Klan, etc., etc., yet, but he was still respected and still did his job. They did try and frame him for murder, which he didn't do, and then his son committed a murder and he had to then make sure his son went to prison and served his time. And I think in those sort of situations there would be exceptions to the rule, and there are always exceptions to the rule when you get a strong person who can step forward and do some leadership. That's what I saw of that. And as far as Martha being there, I don't think that would have been a major issue in New York, especially at that time. I mean, it was a depression. It was, you know, everybody was desperate. I don't think that would be high up their list of priorities, worrying about whether a black lady was wearing a red leather jacket in New York. I don't think they might have thought, oh, well, that's sort of posh, you must have some money. That's the only thing I would have thought of. I think they might have had an issue about, especially with the doctor's coat as well. He looked like quite expensive clothes. So, yes, Mary, what do you think on it?
Well, segregation was the thing in the South.
Yeah.
Blacks were not segregated in the North.
Yeah.
But relations between black and white were still very heavily, not just frowned upon, but, you know, you'd be ostracized from society if a black and white couple, you know, were to declare. And whites still did not want to, like, serve in the military services with blacks. So we had separate, totally separate regiments of black soldiers during the First World War and all that, because whites would not serve with them. Also, in sports, whites would not play with blacks. So there were totally separate black leagues at that time. This is the 1930s talking about. So, yeah, you know, I brushed it off because this is Doctor Who, but Andy does bring a good point.
It's a good point. Historically, yes. But I think I think when the story has to, it's a bit more appropriate to, because there was enough going on in the story in regards to the race of the Daleks, like versus the humans versus aliens scenario, you know, than to worry about the race relations between two human races. I mean, I think that would just been too much.
Being accurate with history would have spoiled a lot of what was in the story. So, yeah, I brushed it off. But, yeah, you know, but the real thing is that the mixing of blacks and whites in the North and even in New York just didn't happen, even though there were not segregation rules.
Mm. But like I say, it would have probably been a detriment to a story that, in your opinions, I'll just knock my microphone, it's your traditional thing on the show, but your opinions wasn't very good. I think, you know, we just wouldn't overly to convert, you know, I think it was good to have Martha in the story as a black companion. I thought, obviously, Hugh Cross, she's an incredible actor and very powerful and was ideal for the part. And I think, yes, historically incorrect, but I think this episode had gone a little bit beyond the historical correctness, yes.
Not dealing with what you guys were just talking about, but something else that Andy brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Who has actually addressed what he was discussing with the Daleks. Never seem to change.
Mm-hmm.
They always make the same mistakes.
Yes.
Before.
Yeah.
Davros noticed that in Genesis.
Yeah.
And that's why he wanted to know all the defeats from Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've also noticed that from Man United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It's the same mistakes all the time. And he's still in a job. Yeah. Won't be by the end of November.
But there was the doctor in this story did mention that their creator didn't actually mention him by name. So that was quite a nice little nod to Davros without actually name dropping him even. We were still doing feedback, weren't we? Therefore, if I can find it, where the blimek is it? Hang on, I should play lift music while I try and find the actual. Here it is!
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello,
with a new
Ian.
Microphone. It says on the box, don't strike the microphone. Avoid damaging the parts of the microphone.
Oh dear.
Good advice, since I broke the last one. It also says, provides rich, delicate voice. Here's hoping. Daleks in Manhattan and Evolution of the Daleks by Helen Raynor. Con! Wrong show. Mr. Diagora sends four people without tools to fix a tunnel collapse, and they don't get suspicious until later. A fake American woman. I think that has happened on Doctor Who before.
Yes, Perry.
I like Tallulah's naive joke about Laszlo not being a pig. Tallulah and the pig end up in Whoville. Well, if a pig and a frog can make it in Manhattan, why not them? We have reviewed these episodes before, and I was up and punning. Hello, Talking About Podcast. This is Inca. Daleks in Manhattan and Evolution of the Daleks by Helen Raynor. We are not far into the first episode when the first Dalek shows up.
It's called a Dalek.
Right you are, Doctor. We are not far into the first episode when the first Dalek shows up. They usually leave us in suspense, although these days we are seeing a trailer tacked onto last week's episode to stretch it to a TV hour.
Yes.
There's a joke for Bible fans. The leader of Hooverville is called Solomon, and he solves an argument about a loaf of bread by breaking it in half.
Yes.
It is odd that Martha would be chosen to clear a blocked tunnel, even though this is just a cover story. Tallulah says, I know some men are pigs, but not Laszlo. This story is set in New York. It's actually filmed in Wales. We will always have powers. The Daleks are given their pig slaves identical overalls. On the commentary, they say they tried having them wear clothes like the men in Hooverville, but it looked like wind in the willows. Also, they would have had to keep track of which pig slave was standing where for continuity. The Doctor helps the Daleks with their plans. I would have said he was more likely to be struck by lightning than to help the Daleks. Then the Doctor is struck by lightning. Daleks have visited the Empire State Building before.
Yes.
In a first Doctor story called The Chase. They're only there long enough to talk to a tourist from Alabama. About last week's episode, Mary Lang is correct. The people of New York, apart from the hologram, have British accents. Also, they say motorway, not highway or interstate.
Ah.
If I may digress a moment, the characters in the TV show Lost were lost because they were wandering around Hawaii looking for the interstate. I can pick out on puns this week. The pig slaves had a battle in Central Park. Mr. Diagros was telling Porkies about the tunnel being blocked. The Daleks plan to use gammon radiation. This is a crackling story.
Oh my God.
The extras might have been hamming it up. Oh, if they had been rasher with their budget, they could have had Kevin Bacon. Oh, Ryan Carnes was showing off his acting chops. Laszlo was a silly sausage, going off on his own in the dark, but the Doctor saved his bacon.
This is Sid McQuid. I don't know why that handsome Dalek set would want to transform himself into a thing with only two legs.
Thank you, Sid the Squid. It is good to hear that Robert Haynes is out and about. My hope is on this week's show.
No, again.
Bye for now.
Lovely bit of feedback recycling there from... It's a new microphone, and he recycles probably one of his best bits of feedback ever. So
yes, I suggested that he did that.
Oh, do you want to get some credit for that, do you?
Oh, yeah, he wants the credit, yeah.
Oh, well done, Ian.
Did you write it as well, Kirby?
Yeah, I was listening to it yesterday, and I went, this is brilliant.
Yeah, it was very good. Right, that's it for the audio feedback. Debbie has got some blurb to dictate.
Indeed. Well, I think the baddies are the Daleks again. Not sure. Oh, yes, there they are. The Dalek cult of Skaro continue their attempts to destroy humanity during the building of the Empire State Building. No need to worry, though, as the Doctor and Martha have arrived on the 1st of November 1930. And you know the Daleks will lose. Or will they? Maybe. There's Rick from Holby City Hospital. It's Rick. There you go, Adam. It's Rick from Holby City.
Oh, is it? Oh, there we go.
That's I know some guys are pigs, but not Laszlo. That's the Chrysler Building. That wasn't finished until 1930. So our future is being human Daleks. He's wrong there. Fancy thinking Daleks had compassion. No wonder they killed Rick. I love the way the Daleks keep looking at each other.
Yeah.
Flashbacks of Alexandra Palace with the mast. Dalek Khan survives to go insane at a later date. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Yes, well dictated, and thank you, Linda and Terry Miles. Excuse me.
I love that. I love the way the Daleks keep looking at each other.
Yes. Yeah, that's really good. Uh-huh.
Did he really just say that? Did
characterisation to them. Right then, we have Mr. Shoveler, who's now going to dictate us. Oh, good grief.
Before I dive into this, let it be known that now it's 8:15 on Sunday evening. Oops, I do hope no one has anything planned for the next fortnight.
Hey, why?
Have it's you not seen how long this is, Adam?
That's what she said, but no, we're going to do the feedback.
Crikey.
Well, you in? Okay. Hang on, the dog is annoying me. She's either in or out, and there she's out. She's probably going to moan and come back in again in a minute.
It will be dead by the time it finishes feedback.
it doesn't look so big on my screen.
Darling, I had to flick it up about 16
That's
times
what she said.
She didn't. That definitely didn't say that. Anyway, Dalek Empire State Building Inc. or Dals and Calads, so good they named them twice. Dear 20 megabiters, Daleks in Manhattan and Evolution of the Dalek is, of course, a closely studied examination of ideological purity in conflict with open-mindedness. As previously exhibited in Evil of the Daleks, the eponymous protagonists are deeply ingrained with an ideology.
Ideology?
Yes. That has a vice-like grip on their attitude. I just couldn't say it. Ideology,
yes. I should give you a ding for getting that one right in the end, even though you were hinted.
Ideology. That has a vice-like grip on their attitudes. And as such, even by embarking on an attempt to exceed that thinking, it causes tension and uncertainty between the Daleks. This, of course, leads to the regicide of the Daleks as they kill their own leader for having correctly fulfilled his function. So the caution here is either to succeed, you... Hold on. So the caution here is either that to succeed, you need to be open-minded and adapting your thinking. Adapt your thinking, or I'm having a nightmare. Adapt your thinking, or if you're unable to accept that, you should stick to your original plans. I need some new glasses, I think. I can't see this very well. Right, I'll do that a bit again. So the caution here is that either that to accept that you... Oh, my God, I can't see it very well, Adam.
No worries, it's not my blooming fault.
No, it's my eyes.
Send it to me.
I'm going to have to go and get some new glasses.
You need to make up for having been off 2 weeks and having no voice. I've got voice. Use it.
Ben, should I send this to Smarty Pants Debbie to read?
No, it's fine. So, the caution here is either that to succeed, you should be open-minded and adapt your thinking, or if you're unable to accept that, you should stick to your original plans. Bloody hell. They're only words. I've seen them all before. These aren't new words to me. I just can't put them in a sentence. That's me speaking, by the way, not Alan T. Butcher. they weren't his words. If they were, they'd have been 15 syllables long and would still be going on. It is interesting to note that the setting here is the Great Depression, in which a pig-headed adherence to laissez-faire economics left the American economy languishing stagnantly, with people suffering unhelped until a new thinking and heavily interventionist government was elected under Franklin D. Roosevelt. Are you ready, Adam?
Yep.
This is like having the word Dalek in the title of a Doctor Who episode. You know what's coming, don't you? Here we go. Let's give them what they want, Adam.
Yeah, got it.
It should be noted that whilst... Some might say... Timing wasn't bad. We can work on it.
It's better than last time.
It was, well, yes, but that was a complete disaster, Adam. Sorry, a disaster, darling.
It's not exaggeration, but never mind, we're used to it on this show.
I think it was quite an under-exaggeration, but we'll carry on. The story title, including evolution, is inappropriate, given that the hybridation instigated is deliberately initiated to achieve a planned result, whereas evolution is all about random change occurring over a wide group, and the most helpful changes surviving as they happen to provide an advantage. In fact, most people won't notice or understand this point, and it's quite a nifty name to use in the Of the Daleks paradigm.
Paradigm?
Paradigm. Paradigm. That says P-A-R-A-D-A-G-M.
Yeah, that would be paradigm then.
Says paradigm.
English is a naughty language.
Yes.
It's a shame it's my first. You wouldn't think so, would you? Is that really paradigm? It does say paradigm.
Paradigm.
Anyway, we we also learn that the Dale, because I'm sure that's what it's, that's a very visual gag, isn't it? We also learn that the Daleks always employ the most intelligent creatures around as their slaves. So when they came to the UK to mount a project in Bedfordshire, they used human robo-men. When they went to the United States to mount a project in New York, they felt the need to bolster the slaves' brains by involving pigs.
Hmm.
All in all, Daleks in Manhattan, an evolution of the Daleks, is a fairly ambitious and a lively quasi-historical presentation, which manages to cast some light of the situation in New York in the early 1930s while providing a resonant setting that the Daleks have history with. Oh, sorry, that was with. I said with. It had a B in it.
Whiffed it there, didn't you?
No, it was blooming awful, darling. It received quite a lot of criticism, which is founded on personal objections to the Dalek plan being out of character for them. This misses the point that the Daleks here, the Cult of Skyro, have been created to be capable of greater creativity and freedom of thought. Clearly, this is another attempt by the Daleks to solve the problem of their inbuilt limitations, just as they sought in Destiny of the Daleks by reviving Davros and in Evil of the Daleks by subcontracting to the Doctor in a foolhardy manner. The tale looks good, the acting is generally excellent, and it provides plenty of innovative situations to occupy the Daleks. There are good counterpoints and contrasts to the Dalek thinking here. Solomon's final speech exhibits the best of American attitudes with the Dalek reaction contrasting dramatically, and this is directly followed by the newly introduced Dalek quandary between the inert desire to kill their enemy and an order for restraint. This story is perhaps one episode too short. This bloody review isn't. I can only imagine Alan T. Butcher has had a very, very light political week.
Yes.
And it also doesn't follow the snooker. I mean, that's the only thing I can think. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as there is a lot going on which is underdeveloped. And they went to a lot of trouble to set it up, and given some time, they may have come up with some more satisfying unravelling of these plot threads. Next up, Doctor Who and the Revenge of Mavis Riley on nominative determinism unleashed. Those are my thoughts. There are words for him, Alan T. Butcher. Thank you, Alan.
That was a novel.
Yeah. Is it still Sunday?
I believe.
No.
It's mean, no.
Blimey. I think I've missed three sleeps reading that. Thanks, Alan.
Only because you can turn Alan T. Butcher into a comedy act.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, no, to be fair, he does the writing. I just do the reading. Well, I try and do the
attempt
reading.
Attempt it, yeah.
And I get stumbled over one or two words and I just kind of like completely forget how to read English. It's really weird.
He was talking quite succinctly, though, Ben, about the
I would say for an ex-DJ Dalek that's slaves. Not great, but maybe that's why I'm an ex-DJ.
Yes, the Dalek slaves. He forgot to mention the Ogrons. They were very pig-like. Yes, we're going to look at... Because we forgot... Well, Kirby forgot. And I've decided on a new thing here. That anything that we should have spoken about that didn't, even though it's my fault, is now being...
Oh,
I'm just going to... What?
Have you checked your recording levels?
Right now.
Yeah. 21.co.uk.
I think too late now is probably the correct... Yes, Kirby gets the blame. So if we forget to do anything like the sponsors, yes, it's Kirby's fault. So we are going to do the sponsors. It's whowon.co.uk.
Whowon.co.uk.
Yes, they have stuff available to buy presently, including Ashes of Eternity, which is a Doctor Who story featuring the Ninth Doctor and Rose. It's available from them on CD. It says Joa Ando reads. Oh, it's a novel. It says, reads a dynamic new story featuring a Ninth like the Doctor and Rose. It's not a big Finnish story. Well, it'd probably be quite good, wouldn't it? Doctor Who Atlas, that's the sort of thing Kirby would like to buy. It says, travel yes. through space and time like never before in this stunning guide to the worlds of Doctor Who. Universes, even. 2022 annual. Which has got a very uncomic-like cover, but it's still quite good. Bessie Come Home. These are the same stuff I reviewed a couple of weeks ago. Stephanie Carl reads a brand new story featuring the Doctor's trusty car. I wonder whether the dialogue and an audio presentation for a car would be quite interesting to listen to. History of the Daleks 1. It's the 2.5-inch Dalek action figures from the Daleks and also from Dalek Invasion of Earth. They're $24.99 for a set of looks like two, but if you're a completionist and an absolute mad Doctor Who fan and want to have them on your sideboard, rather like David J. Howe probably would have done, now he's got a museum, that's the sort of thing you want to buy. Coming soon on pre-order at whoone.co.uk, Clone Masters.
whoone.co.uk.
Which is... what the hell is that? Can't even read that. So, oh, The Clone Masters is a Blake Seven story on from Big Finish. Curious, a Torchwood story. 11th Doctor.
It's Curios.
All right, smarty pants. Curios. Also, 11th Doctor Chronicles 2.
Like Doritos.
Hang on. Yes. 11th Doctor. Yes. I didn't know Matt Smith was doing Big Finish.
No, it's not. The Chronicles are stories that are read by somebody.
Oh, okay. But it's 11th Doctor featured. Empire of the Shadows, Torchwood, Galaxy 4 CD.
Ooh.
Also, Missy 3. Is it actually Missy in those Big Finish stories, Mary?
Yes, it is actually Missy.
As in Michelle Gomez, isn't
it? Yeah, Michelle
Missy
Gomez.
Missy 3, the Master 2, or what? It's a I score.
Don't know. Yeah. Ninth Doctor Adventure, Respond to All Calls. 10th Doctor, Dalek Universe 2. And 3rd Doctor Adventures 8. And War Master 6, Killing Time, amongst many things available on pre-order from whoone.co.uk.
And the 3rd Doctor Adventures is, of course, you know, not... not the 3rd Doctor.
I heard it was.
They
dug him up.
A voice artist who does an amazing job of sounding just like him.
Christmas is coming at lavazi.co.uk, where you can buy a highly appropriate 4th Doctor scarf to keep you nice and warm during the winter.
Of course, absolutely.
Highly appropriate indeed.
Yes. And also, if you're cosplay.
What? As if they had like a long one and a short one.
They have indeed. Funny you should say that,
You're
Ben.
You're joking me.
No. And also, this is what's going to be most appealing to you, Ben. You can get a 13th Doctor scarf for $24.99 to go with your 13th Doctor t-shirt. All you'd need to complete your cosplay for the 13th Doctor would be the jacket.
Dungarees.
Yeah, that's all you need to complete. The look. You obviously get the season 18th 4th Doctor scarf. You get the 6th Doctor, 7th Doctor, sorry, paisley hanky and neckerchief and stuff like that. So all these things. Oh, and the course of pullover with the question marks on it. All available at lavazi.co.uk. And also join their blog where you can submit your own fan fiction for Doctor Who. They also do Star Trek merchandise as well. So. Great website. Finally, iwheroes.co.uk. Should I just type the URL in wrong because I put a space in there? Haven't been in that shop for a while because we haven't got much money, and Deb would, if I actually bring any currency anywhere near that shop, she knows I'm going to spend it there even if I haven't got it. Of course, they specialise in comics because they're a comic shop. So, and graphic novels and stuff like that. So, among Funko Pops, novels. I always talk about Funko Pops because they've got a whole room full of them. They do specialise in other geeky genres like Dungeons and Dragons stuff, modelling things, and Warhammer. But you can't, if you're in the UK, you can buy it, but you can't buy it outside the UK, which is it's just restrictions on there. So, but you do have listeners in Britain, I think. And it's really worth having a look through their catalogue on their website for the fab things on offer. They're always getting new and really good stuff in there. So that is Heroes, otherwise known as iwheroes.co.uk. I think I whispered it, but I'm sure the listeners could hear that. I was right next to the microphone. Right, so that covers that bit. I've done it.
Master?
Yes, darling. Master.
We've got some things coming through on the live feed, by the way. Which
yeah,
haven't.
Master, I was about to say, you've assigned me to do two other things. Tell you, not ask that. Check any stray feedback in the news.
No, stray feedback as that isn't on the live feed. You can do that. The live feed feedback is entirely my responsibility, and I'm just going to get comfy. All right, what have we got coming up here then? Ian Kirk, I've done that one. I can't believe I missed doing a pig-headed pun in my feed. I said that one.
Two at the bottom.
Hang on, I've got to refresh this.
That helps.
Oh, it keeps on jumping. Because people are adding stuff.
Keep on jumping.
Lillian Robin. Google says average wage in 1930 in the North was 48 cents per hour. Good point. And then, oh my God, the puns.
And also,
replying to Alan T. Butcher, good use of the gallery music, Debbie. I don't know what that was all about. And then Alan T. Butcher said, yes, Ben, it's a big one, isn't it?
That's good.
And, the amount of times I've heard that in my life.
Actually, I should really let Ben read the comment from a certain Billy Kirkbright, because I know Ben actually does the best impression of Billy known to man.
Good morning, very early.
Buy it, lad.
Yeah. I'm off down to pitch. I'm off down pitch in Perth, in Australia. That's right.
I'd love to hear you mixing Australian with whatever accent you were attempting to do there. That would have been quite an interesting cross match of accents.
Well, he's obviously not going to do that. It's how Billy speaks.
I thought he's not originally Australian anyway.
Who's originally Australian?
I thought Billy was English.
Yes, he originally.
Yes. He comes from Accrington.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
That's the point we were trying to make.
Well, you weren't getting to it.
I didn't have to. It's blatantly obvious. Jeez. Yeah, but
Kirby, it's like his review of the episode.
Shut up. Right. Doctor Who is coming back on Halloween. Now we still haven't got the time for the episode's broadcast, but we will try and work around it. As in, if it's
probably about half past 12,
we'll do a show
at
8. But we'll just have to try and work around it. But we can't review or talk about the episode that's just been out until the week later. But we're not going to be doing a full synopsis review until we get to it in the journey, because it's too close. But yes, not long to go now. I'm quite excited. I've seen some better trailers. And it does look quite... I just don't like the six-parter thing. We've got all this time for a new story, and it's just the one story. God! But it's a six-part one. But yeah, it's still new Doctor Who to get all gushy about. Apparently, it's not really a spoiler, because it has been heavily publicised that Jodie Whittaker has filmed a regeneration scene. That means they've filmed the centenary special, which is going to be on next autumn,
every time I talk to someone about Doctor Who at the moment, and I say that Jodie Whittaker's confirmed that she's, you know, filmed a regeneration, who's the next Doctor? I don't bloody know.
Not even she knows.
What's wrong with you lot? Aren't you in the loop? if you don't know, I'm not telling you.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Shut up, Ben.
Double bluff them.
Doctor Who Magazine, episodes 570. We're nearly catching up with them, you know. Is coming out, and on the cover we've got John Bishop, Jodie Whittaker and Mandip Gill, who play characters in Doctor Who. There are other things in the issue.
Being a Doctor Who magazine.
Yes, and you can get that from whoone.co.uk if you live outside the UK, right? And inside
look at
the
that. UK. It's got a TARDIS diorama as a supplement in it. Ooh, I like that.
Splendid. Doctor Who returns 31st October. The BBC announced blah 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 blah, and there's a graphic that says Doctor Who Flux. And of course, 31st of the 10th. It's quite interesting in some ways, because FantasyCon was supposed to be that weekend originally last year, because it was actually going to fall on Halloween.
It
and then,
was, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
And then this is falling on that particular date. I keep on getting people asking.
This is that. Odd. Doctor Who News does not seem to have the new trailer posted.
It's available. Go to bbc.co.uk/Doctor Who.
But it's just that they're usually right on top of things.
I've just said the URL for our listeners. I'll do it again. It's bbc.co.uk/Doctor Who. You'll find stuff like that there. You can also subscribe to the BBC's actual Doctor Who feed, and you get news coming through via email and other methods of news. There are a couple of books coming out on the Lethbridge-Stewart range. From the classic era of Doctor Who, Lethbridge-Stewart, Year 3, The Overseers. And there's another one called Short Story Collection 3. They're obviously very popular because there's a lot of them coming out. So I've done really well there. I've managed to do the news. I think I deserve one of these. Right.
It was nice, by the way, last week to talk about the invasion with the with Earth Station Who.
Ah, God. Another shameless plug.
Was right it, then. Kirby?
Oh, hang on. We've got stuff coming through on the live feed. We've got... Tim Jury says, the one where the Daleks bitch with each other down the corridor. Oh, and thanks for making the show shorter recently. It wasn't deliberate. I always wanted it to be shorter. And then he says,
we're
my money
shorter this week.
And he says, my money is on 8 p.m. for Doctor Who, so we might have to record before Doctor Who goes out. That'll be a novel thing, wouldn't it? And would Billy Kirk Bright says some foreign stuff I don't quite understand, but I'm going to try my best to read it out. Down t- pit. No pits in Aki. I think that's
all closed down, mate.
they may have been some there.
Maggie Thatcher did that, mate. Closed them all down everywhere. There used to be pits in Accrington, loads of them. Blame Maggie Thatcher.
Okay. She's dead.
Blame her. She'd ruin this country.
I'm sure something else.
Boris
I'm going to talk about stuff
damn
I've watched
good of
recently.
Putting the final seal on.
Oh, well, come on now. You can't
stop.
Say
this, put politics is banned
Boris
on this show.
Doing what Maggie did to the country.
Oh,
sold
stop
everything
it
off to her mates, made them all rich. Oh, it's a disgrace.
Sure,
Alan T. Butcher will be smiling from ear to ear when he's saying that. I don't support
yeah
Labour anyway.
Anyway. Stuff I've
and
watched.
I don't
it.
Dems, by the way. I'd just like to put that out there too, just because I don't want anyone thinking I was a yellow.
Stuff I've watched this
or the
week.
The Greens. Don't vote for Green because they're pathetic.
Is there some elections
purple,
going on? What?
You're not a purple, are you, Billy?
No, I'm. I don't know who I'm going to vote
he's
for.
He's turning to Billy. Look.
I'm literally going to the voting booth with my eyes closed and just put a mark in a box because I don't care.
You might be a red then. You never know then.
Anyway,
well, I think the other day I was like a maroon.
Lock and Key is coming back to Netflix. I quite enjoyed the first series of that.
Those The Floor is Lava.
Is it coming back?
That's back.
Is it? Oh, cool. I like that.
Yeah, what, I don't know when, but there's another Netflix series on the way.
No. Did I
what's
talk
coming to Netflix?
Lock and Key. Lock and Key and The Floor is Lava.
Okay.
And the last series of Lost in Space, but I said that last week.
Yes, you did.
And of course, they've just about finished off.
I said Lost in Space. Then
putting, excuse me, What If on Disney Plus.
I'm joking. Very good.
We watched a film called Free Guy. Is it Fall Guy? With Ryan Reynolds in it. That's available on Disney.
Oh, everybody's
Plus.
Rating that, but I want to see June.
Do you know? Sure, there's something else coming out on Disney Plus. I can't remember what it was. Oh, darn it. Yes, we've tried to cover as much stuff as we can. Obviously, What If is very, very good. What If?
No, thank you.
Darn what I'm going to say, keep a lookout for What If the zombie apocalypse episode. Very, very good indeed. It doesn't spoil anything. Just say it's a very good episode. Keep it right. It's one of the best I've seen.
I finally finished What If. I really liked it.
Well, the zombie apocalypse episode.
Well, that one, yes, but all of them.
Right. Well, I haven't seen all of them. I just want to say that one's really good.
Well, I'm just telling you, I like the whole series.
It doesn't matter what you like. Oh, sorry, mate, I'm a bit mean. Right, so having forgotten what else I was going to talk about, that means I can think about going to get a bath and not getting told off by Deb for doing the podcast too late, as I think Isabella's got school tomorrow. I can't remember.
But we're running way later than we were last week.
Well, it's again.
Another week and then it's half term.
Yeah, so she's got school tomorrow.
Are we doing next week, and that's got to be Lazarus?
Can I check my diary first before committing? Because I know there's stuff coming up soon. Oh, yeah, we're right. We're right for next week. I've got
sorry,
a wedding
Mary?
On.
There's a series on Apple Plus, Isaac Asimov's Foundation.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That's...
Nope, it doesn't sound good at all.
What?
I was bored reading Foundation. I'm not at all interested.
I'll like it anyway.
And that's the thing. Because the characters in the books are not very well fleshed out, they've gone to great lengths in this one to bring the characters, you know, more alive.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Right, so we are on next week doing the Lazarus experiment or something like that?
Should be Lazarus.
Yeah, Lazarus experiment. Is that what it's called?
Something yes.
And we should be
around. Let me check something. Something I thought I heard today. Yes, today is the 17th of October.
Correct.
Mark Gatiss just turned 55.
Oh, congratulations, Mark. I know exactly how you feel. Yeah, so that'll be all right for next week. The week after that should be okay, but we'll have to work around the broadcast of Doctor Who.
Never heard of it.
But as we get... When we get to November, Wales Comic Con is on the weekend of the 19th, 20th and 21st. We're going to Harry Potter Studios on the 19th and then driving out to Telford to do Wales Comic Con for the 20th and 21st. So,
lucky.
We won't be doing a show that weekend. I beg your pardon?
Wait, let me update my calendar.
Well, it looks like Alan T. Butcher is watching Foundation because he made the comment on the live feed that Foundation is good.
Oh, well, I might have to try and dig.
Well, I don't have Apple TV.
When I
so
run out of things to watch,
matter.
Get an Apple phone and you get Apple TV for a year for free. Don't have to.
No,
but
I would only, never have an Apple phone.
Do we? No, I got iTunes for free instead.
Okay,
there was a phooey involved.
Are we not recording the 14th?
No, it's the weekend of the 19th, 20th, and 21st. So it will be the 21st. Okay. We are recording on the 14th. Despite the fact
okay,
it's
fine. That's what I was
Sunday.
Asking.
Well, if you'd let me
but
speak.
You know, but today, right, is the 17th of October, 2021.
Yes.
Right. Yesterday was therefore the 16th of October, 2021. And it was the 123rd. Anniversary, no, the 120th or something of the, or maybe even the 100th of the first powered flight in the UK, which took place in Farnborough at the airfield, not more than half a mile from where I sit now.
Yeah,
by Samuel Franklin.
You should go and visit it.
Anyway,
I don't need to. I drive past the spot where it happened, and there's no hotel
go and visit
on
it.
The plane.
I was trying to discuss
where the flight started.
Why to finish off? I can't recall that weekend, the 19th, 20th, 21st. I also can't recall the following weekend, the 26th, 27th, and 28th, because Deb and I will be in London, is it? London? Is it London?
London.
Because...
Are you talking November?
London.
Yes, November. November. This is, the 19th, 20th, 21st of November, and the 26th, 27th, 28th of November. They're all events around Deb's 50th. I hope she's not listening. Her 50th birthday. So,
45th, surely, Adam.
The Harry Potter bit's for her. Wales Comic Con for me and Isabella. The following week, just me and Deb are going to Landan on a little coach trip.
Where? Lanzarote.
Landan.
I'll be at Chicago TARDIS that last weekend of
you
November.
That's why you moved to Chicago, wasn't it, Mary? So she could be closer to it.
A whole reason for moving, yes.
Right, okay then. So that's it then. So next week, Lazarus Experiment, and hopefully everybody will be present for that. So until then, thank you. Hang on. Let's check the feed. Ooh. Oh, Auntie Butch said Foundation is good.
Well, I'll watch it.
Hang on.
You've got to.
Did you see Alan Butcher saying I'm a little disturbed
no,
to hear
what, but what he starts off with, apologies to Tim for my length. That's a bit disturbing in itself. And then he says, I'm a little disturbed to hear Ben being correct about something without me having written it. I don't know if Ben listened to that bit. Did you hear that bit, Ben?
I didn't hear that. What was that?
I'll say it again. I'm a little disturbed to hear Ben being correct about something without me having written it.
Oh, yes.
And then he says, Foundation is good. Right then, so that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Please continue to do so. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye-bye. I'm off to London.
Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.